Hi there, and welcome to the latest Far Off Places podcast. It's great to be back, and it's great to have you sitting wherever you are, probably drinking a cup of something warm. We hope so. Far Off Places is a magazine of written whimsy, publishing prose, drama, and poetry. And we're really excited because in this podcast, we're actually launching our upcoming call for submissions, which is a bit different, as you'll know if you've been following us on social media in the last wee while. And I'm hosting the podcast today along with Jessica and Adam.
Hello.
Hey.
Jess co-hosted our last podcast with us, which we used to relaunch the podcast. And Adam is also a guest editor at Far Off Places. They worked together with us on the epistolary edition, which was great. They've brought a lot of new ideas and new impulses to the magazine. And that went so well that we decided we really wanted to collaborate properly on our upcoming issue.
We got to stay.
We got to keep them. It's all quite exciting. First things first, I guess, if you've been waiting to know what our next call for submissions is, we're launching a call for submissions on the theme of found in translation.
Ta-da!
Drum roll. If any of you know Jessica Johannesson-Gaitan and Adam Lelange, you'll know that that's really sort of their speciality. They host and manage the website The Rookery and the Bookery, which focuses on fiction and translation. So it's going to be a really exciting collaboration.
One of the funny things, or the funny connections between Far Off Places and The Rookery and the Bookery, is that we both were actually born the same year.
That's true. We share a birthday, don't we? Pretty much within a week.
We do share a birthday. And you do know that, Adam, because we had a birthday party at a pub.
Oh, yeah.
In which we had cake. And that was the second birthday of both The Rookery and the Bookery and Far Off Places.
We also share a love of airborne objects, whether it's rooks or balloons.
Definitely.
This is very true.
That is lovely.
Maybe we can just start today by talking about The Rookery. Where did the idea come from, and what are you trying to do with the website?
The way that The Rookery started was we were both writing reviews for different publications and writing different kinds of reviews, and wanted a space where we could write them just the way we wanted to and not necessarily books that had just been out and the books that are the most popular and that are featured already a lot in the media. We wanted to give space to books that don't normally get that much space. So there was that, and also being able to write really long reviews or really short reviews, basically not being restricted to these very specific guidelines that you often have to stay with in other publications.
We started off trying to review books which weren't getting much attention, and then we came across a statistic which said about 3% of the books that we read have been translated from another language, and that includes all the kind of Russian and French classics as well. So in terms of contemporary works, it's an even smaller percentage. So we basically found a huge treasure trove of underrated and under-reviewed literature, and that's when we decided that that was a pretty good place to go to find these new and exciting voices.
It was really a coming together of different things, because I remember at the time also reading a blog about the different kinds of reviewing that you can do, and that there's a need sometimes for reviews that take a little bit longer, that maybe going back to books that were published that aren't quite classics, but maybe were published a couple of years ago and went under the radar, and talking about them and giving them kind of a second life. So we started walking around libraries and looking for books that neither of us had heard of. And then it went from that to actually getting new releases from publishers and things like that. So it's been a mix of both.
Yeah. Have either of you discovered favorite new translated works through The Rookery?
Ooh. Yes, I think it's been more discovering really great publishers.
That's interesting.
It's been one of the things that we've become really quite well acquainted with these exciting publishers that are releasing work in translation. And then through that, becoming aware of authors that might have been around for a really long time in their own languages, but they are just now being released in English.
Yeah.
Like one of them would be Pushkin Press, for instance.
Yes.
Or yeah. And other stories as well.
Have you come across any translators that you sort of think, wow, you know, a question with translation is quite often, is it highlighted as something that's foreign, or is it made to seem more part of our culture, and publishers think that if we think something is translated, we won't read it, which often means that translators don't always really get given their due. Their names aren't always on the covers of books. And I sort of feel a little bit that with the found in translation issue of Far Off Places, it's a bit about actually giving translators a space. And it's great to have this exciting space where young writers or emerging writers can try different things, but it's also really nice to have a dedicated space for translators, which isn't always the case.
Definitely. I don't think we've actually reviewed this book yet, but I went to an event during the Edinburgh Book Festival last year, and it was with a British translator called Margaret Yule Costa, and she's one of the sort of really well-known translators who are very well respected as being translators, not as writers and translators who are coming in at it from another angle, just on the merit of being an amazing translator. So she was definitely somebody that I started reading the translations she's made from the Spanish, and that have been really great. One of the first books that we reviewed was, you, Adam, reviewed The American Girl by Monica Fagerholm. And that was a book that I'd read in Swedish years ago, and which I really, really loved. And then I recommended it to Adam, and he ended up reviewing it, the English version.
Yeah, I don't think I've got a particular favourite translator, but it's made me more aware of what translation involves. Any book that I've read in translation, which I've enjoyed, at least part of that credit has to go to the translator.
That's interesting though, Jess. You said you read books in English which were originally written in Spanish, although you are also fluent in Spanish.
Yeah, I think sometimes, definitely, because I find it really fascinating to be able to see the transformation, what they've done with it. And I think when you have access to the original, then you can really appreciate the work that's gone into it, actually, which was the case with this American Girl. We talked so much about that book because I remember Adam saying when he was reading it that, did you say you felt slightly dizzy or like sick?
Yeah. Something about the style of it, the way that the sentences were piled up on each other, was almost a kind of cyclical spiraling effect. And I think you get that in Swedish as well. So that shows the power of a translator who's managed to convert something quite difficult to describe into another language so that both Swedish readers and English readers reading that book can get this crazy swirling effect from the language.
It's amazing because that's one of the most poetic and just wonderfully crafted pieces of texts that I've ever read, and it's quite a long book. And to hear, this was even before I looked at the English version, to hear that had come across was really interesting and really great. The translator for that is called Katarina E. Tucker. I've never read anything else that she's translated, but that's a good example of somebody that we sort of became aware of.
Yeah.
It's actually quite similar with the English translations of another Finnish-Swedish writer, Tove Jansson.
Whose name neither Adam or I is going to be able to pronounce. Yep.
Tove Jansson's books in English are really great. You can actually hear, I felt like I could hear the Swedish in the English in the way that people speak to each other. On one level, it's a bit foreign, but it's foreign in a very personal way so that you can hear the author's voice.
This sounds a little bit picking up Power of Places, but it's not, because I didn't come up with the title. I like the title of our upcoming issue, Found in Translation, because I think sometimes discussions about translation can be very negative, even if people are very in favour of works being translated, being able to read works from different languages. They're also particularly actually to do with poetry, although I'm sure that this is the case with prose as well. Discussions about translation often focus around, okay, well, something's always going to be lost, and what do you focus on? Should you focus on atmosphere or direct translation or the sound of the words? And obviously, no matter what you translate, that always has to be a question. But actually, translation can also bring something to a work. And it's quite nice to actually remember and really emphasize the positive and the exciting sort of element of translation in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe one day we'll get to the stage where we actually search for translators to read rather than authors. I think I'm going to go look up some Katarina E. Tucker.
Definitely. Yeah. Or I'm definitely wanting to read more of Margaret Yul Costa's work. And that's when, at the point where a translator actually introduces a writer to you. And that's something really lovely.
Absolutely. What do you think you look for in translations then?
I think part of it is for the text to make sense and to really work as a beautifully written text in English or in whatever language has been translated to. I think when you can feel that, oh, this is a translation, most of the time it can be a bit jarring.
Yeah.
And that's even without knowing the original language. Sometimes you can just feel that there's something that doesn't quite make sense here.
Yeah, or you just feel slightly alienated, I sometimes feel.
And that's different from what I was mentioning before about Tove Jansson, where it is a beautifully written text in English, but it's just the way that people talk to each other, which is more culturally specific. And that makes you remember that this is taking place not in Britain, for instance, but I think in this case it might be in Finland. So that's different, and that's not a bad translation. I think that's actually a really good translation. It's just that it keeps something of that local flavor in the English version.
It's quite a difficult line to tread, isn't it? To make something feel foreign whilst also feeling familiar and impacting you in a way that you're used to.
Absolutely. And I think it's things like that cultural difference in treating people. Because I remember I read, it would have been Anna Karenina, my final year of my undergrad when I was studying Russian, and I, for the first part of the book, I actually read it part in English, part in Russian, and then I gave up and continued reading in English. But Russian has, like quite a lot of non-English languages, the formal you and informal you. And there's a really big thing at the beginning of the book that Count Oblonsky's had an affair, his wife's found out, massive family drama, all unhappy families are unhappy in their own way, and she starts addressing him with the formal you, and it's this very evident building up of a barrier between two people. And I can't quite remember how
is that translated.
I think it may have been a footnote, I can't remember. But that's that kind of thing is something where I guess, again, that's sort of getting into the negative discussion of, okay, well, something's going to get lost there. But it's also, when that's done well, that's a really remarkable moment, because you really do have a foreign culture which is brought that much closer to you. So, as we said, upcoming issue is Found in Translation, and we really are looking for original English translations of short form fiction, drama and poetry from any language. And we'll purely be choosing on merit here, but if you choose to pick a text that somehow addresses themes of multilingualism or languages or translation, then that's particularly exciting. The thing that, of course, we do have to be aware of with translation is copyright issues. So we're really asking writers and translators here to be aware of, when they're translating and submitting work to us, what the copyright laws are, and making sure that they've got permission or they're allowed to send us this text with the possibility of being published. In Britain, copyright laws are that if someone's been dead for 70 years, the text is out of copyright. And that varies from country to country. But what we'd really appreciate would be if you think, okay, I'm going to pick something that's simply out of copyright, double check the laws in the country of the author you're translating, and just let us know in your submission email that, okay, this is a German text, and in Germany the laws are such and such, and this person died in such and such. And that just makes things a lot easier for us. if you do want to translate something contemporary, we'd be really excited about reading it. But obviously, we do need to know that you have the permission for this text to possibly be published. So if you can let us know that you've been in contact with the author and or the publisher about this and that they're happy for you to be translating this text, then that would be very helpful. If you have problems with this, just let us know before you submit, get in contact with us, and we'll take it from there and we'll see how we can work with that. But obviously, we can't make decisions with a lot of texts if we don't know that we can actually publish them.
Texts do not necessarily have to have been published before in the original language.
Yes, that's very true.
So if you happen to know an author and the author of a text that you'd really like to translate, then that's perfectly fine if you have the permission of the author, regardless of whether or not that text has appeared in print before.
And the ideal would just be if you forward us the written agreement of the author that you can do that. Equally, Jess was involved in quite an exciting project. It's just recently been European Literature Night. And Jess and Jennifer Williams, who were also publishing in our upcoming issue, did a piece which was Swedish and English texts.
I think we had some Latin and Spanish in there towards the end as well, but it was mainly Swedish and English, yeah.
And that was something where the text very much grew out of translation and playing around with the translation, but actually both languages were an original piece. And if you're either bilingual or you're working together with someone who maybe works in a different language, that would equally be something we'd be very interested in seeing.
You should set up a story swap with one of your bilingual friends. You should write them a story in English and they should write you a story in their native language, and then you can both translate them.
That sounds like a really exciting idea.
That sounds like a perfect prompt.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's our first writing prompt for the translation issue.
Oh, what we haven't said about the translation issue, which is quite exciting. So we said that this would be a collaboration with the Rookery and the Bookery. And for some of our previous issues, we've done a few writing prompts on the Far Off Places blog. And what we really want to do is have a lot of texts based around the translation issue on the Rookery and the Bookery this time round. And this will both be during the submission period that we'll be writing about translation, writing about issues to do with translation. And also when the issue is published, we're really hoping to showcase the different translators. Again, partly because translation is so exciting and we're really curious to know what you did with your texts, how you got to where you did, and why you chose the texts you chose. But also because translators don't always get given a stage to explain what they're doing and why they're doing it. So we'll be having a series of articles on the Rookery and the Bookery website, where we have a sort of a small feature interview with the different translators, which is quite exciting.
The deadline for submission to the translation issue Found in Translation is the 31st of July.
And we really look forward to reading your texts. So start sending them in.
All of this will be on the Far Off Places website, and it will be linked from the Rookery and the Bookery as well. So you can have a look at both websites and you can see all of the specific guidelines on there as well about copyright and all those important issues. So you don't have to memorize everything from this podcast.
Although you can listen to the podcast over and over again if you care for our voices.
If that is your way of learning, then by all means.
That's us for today. Thanks for listening. Join us in a couple of weeks when we'll be hearing more pieces and talking a bit more about what's going on at Far Off Places. And until then, goodbye.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Greetings from Göttingen and Edinburgh.